Are you mission driven? When you wake up, do you avoid stuff and delay it, or are you attacking something? You have intent with what you're doing. So just wake up and have a mission. I think it was a Dr. John Rady out of Harvard who says, there's one thing I can teach based on my research on the power of the mind is everyone needs to have a mission. Everyone needs to wake up with a vision that I'm going after something. Are you a gazelle or a lion? Because if you're a gazelle, you're running away. Lions are running towards something.
Welcome to What's Next with Eric Wood, where we will prepare you to make your what's next in life your best yet by learning from high performers in a variety of industries. Our next guest is top-rated speaker, mental performance coach, and founder of Master Your Mindset, and that's Colin Henderson. Colin is seeking to normalize mental conditioning, and you are going to be the beneficiary of that today. He will identify what a mindset is and then inspire you to take the necessary steps to make it a mindset that sets you up for success in life. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast if you enjoy it. Also, share it on social media so others can enjoy it as well. Colin, welcome to the show, brother.
Eric Wood, man. I'm blessed here. Let's do this.
Man, I am honestly fired up for this. I want to honor Jordan Montgomery first. He made the introduction. I heard you on his show, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And I've dug into your podcast as well now, Master Your Mindset, and it's phenomenal. You and T-Money, you guys crush it. And honestly, I'll be dead honest, and you got, you know, maybe 150 episodes. A lot of them are shorter, especially the ones that it's just you two hosting it yourselves, and so you can knock out a bunch. And generally in the morning I listen to podcasts when I'm working out, and I like to fill my mind with, you know, what I want to fuel me and fuel me throughout the day. And so first off, before we even get going, I want to give you that shout out there and give you that plug, because these listeners that are all, you know, sports fans are on this journey, and we'll get into your story, which they'll absolutely love, but they've been on this what's next journey with me. I think they'll get your content as well.
Well, I mean, I love your podcast too, for what's next. I love that concept. What's next? I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to learn. And we get wisdom in one of two ways, from experience or by learning from others. And there's cheap wisdom, which is learning from others. And there's wisdom that's expensive, which is messing up yourself. So getting your guests and learning from their successes and failures has been awesome.
No doubt about it. And that's why I just love having conversations with people, learn from them. Maybe you don't step on that same landmine that they stepped on, and you can pass along your lessons, and then you serve others as well with your stories. But you guys are going to get a kick out of Colin. You know, even that, just a little minor deal, like you learn things one of two ways. You're going to get a lot of those. Like, get out a notebook right now. Don't put it on time and a half speed, because you're going to want to digest everything that he's laying down throughout this podcast. But we're going to start off the same way we do with all the guests. Talk about where you're from originally, and what kind of athlete were you growing up?
Okay, so what's up, listeners? Pumped to be here, blessed, excited. So I am from the Northwest, this booming town just south of Seattle called Puyallup, Washington, small town. Had a brother, played sports, was into it, loved it, was blessed enough to get a scholarship to play for the Cougs, Washington University, played baseball and football. So I actually wanted to play basketball my third year and be the last three-sport athlete, but I was like, nah, I guess I won't. But but I just love sports, man. I was talented. I loved the teamwork. I loved the process of growing. I mean, I love practice, but kind of my story, Eric, what gets me into coaching the mental game was, dude, I was a nervous wreck half the time. I'd love to get some insights on your mindset, like pre-game and during the game and post-game. Like, I would just get my self-worth tied to the outcome. If I wasn't first, I was last. So I tell people, I'm a recovering perfectionist. I suffer from what is called FOPO, fear of other people's opinions, which really sabotaged me from being present in the moment. I could usually deliver and practice, and then for whatever reason, I'd get so hyped up. You know, the game's on TV, and I'm starting, and what if I mess up? And my whole focus mentally, Eric, was to not fail. And what I learned later on after delving into the power of the mind and doing the research is that the brain cannot tell the difference between a real and an imagined event.
Right.
So by thinking about what you don't want, you're creating a neural pathway. Your brain is actually attracting those things that you don't want. And the brain thinks in four dimensions. Our words influence the pictures that we see, emotions that we feel, which flow into our actions. So I would train my body physically, weight room, you know, catching balls, like hitting the batting cage in baseball, but I had no training mentally. So that's why, man, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to normalize mindset training. You don't need to be sick to get better.
Man, I absolutely love that. And honestly, I wish I would have gotten into mindset training earlier in my career. I've started working with an executive coach who classifies himself as a mind shift coach. Now his name's James McPartland. I started working with him before my last season in the NFL. And I wish I could have continued playing and using everything that he was teaching me. And, you know, I learned a good amount along the way, and you're constantly poured into you by coaches and mentors, whether it's in the league or college or wherever it may be. You know, I was constantly poured into, but, you know, I started meditating. Visualization drills became so valuable to me. You know, for me as a center, the big down and distance was third and long. You know, I'm making all the calls. It's hectic in the stadium. You got to know where the play clock is. Man, I would run through those throughout the week. At night, before I went to bed, I'd sit on the edge of my bed, kind of before my wife came up so she didn't look at me like I was a weirdo. But I would run through those scenarios. And I was watching film. I'd put myself in those situations. And it was amazing. It was almost like time would slow down on the field and allow me to perform better in those moments. But you talk about being wrapped up in just the results. You know, I don't have a ton of regrets for my career. But one is, I don't feel like I ever truly enjoyed the moment of the first 5 or so years of my NFL career. Really, when I got my second contract, that was year 5. I probably started to enjoy it a little bit more. And then even towards the end, I really started a gratitude practice and really lived in the moment. Mm-hmm. But it was constantly always worrying about, man, am I going to get that next deal? Are we ever going to break this playoff drought? Am I going to, you know, I'm one of the captains. Am I going to really be a dude that plays his whole career and never makes it to the playoffs, can't get this organization over the hump? And so that stuff just drove me nuts. And I was so worried about, I mean, it was my own perfectionism and then other people's opinions as well. So, So I feel you on that one. I just got to know real quick, did you have a shot? Could you have played 3 sports?
It would have been close. I could shoot. I could really shoot. I can play defense. I can defend. I'm quick and I'm pretty fast. For some reason, I can't jump. But I would be able to be a stopper if they had – I mean, I'm 6'1", but I could come in and shoot threes and maybe ball in a little bit. But I used to play against those guys on our team, on the Barts team, like at the rec center, and I would hold my own. But really, it was just kind of like my second to last year of baseball, I wasn't having a good season. I was frustrated with the coach, and I was just like in this negative state. I was like, screw this, man. I'm going to play basketball my last year and be the last 3-sport athlete at Washington State. But – no, it didn't happen.
Gotcha.
But at my YMCA in Nashville, though, I'm the best. I'm just kidding. I'm the best player. Hall of Fame. They don't have a Hall of Fame. No, I'm just kidding. I'm lucky if I don't get hurt. I'm just kidding.
Right. I know. Basketball is the one sport that scares me that I'm going to ruin golf season if I play too much basketball and maybe get hurt out there. So I've tried to stay off the basketball court, but I still love getting out there and competing. How'd you get into this current line of work you're in now where you're a speaker, author, mental conditioning mm-hmm. coach?
That's a great question. So kind of like a lot of athletes, you chase worth, but after your time as an athlete, what's the next best role for you? Sales. So I had some uncles that were in business sales. So my role, I was selling to hospitals and doctors for my whole career. And like midway through, after like year 4, year 5, year 6, I kind of went backwards. And part of my backstory, Eric, is I used to stutter pretty bad. Well, this fear of being perfect and tied to outcome, what are people thinking? And I just wasn't in the present moment. And when you feel fear, your thoughts become physical. So when you have these thoughts of like, don't mess up, don't screw up, they're going to think like it, you get this physical response. I like to joke, you know, palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy, vomit on a sweater, all of your mom's spaghetti. Your thoughts become physical and you can't execute what you normally could. So my physical response, I was kind of like, stop breathing. Like if I had to read out loud or speak in a formal environment or had to give a speech or if I was put on camera, or put a microphone in front of me, put me on in front of a laptop, like for some reason I had this like phobia because I messed up in 6th grade. Everybody started laughing. So my brain stored that and said, don't let that happen again.
Wow.
And what you resist persists. So I would just like never practice it. So my skills got worse. It got so bad, Eric, that I couldn't even answer the phone. It was like a year of my life where I had a hard time saying my own name. I couldn't order food through a drive-thru. When I was at Washington State my last year playing football, I was at this golf tournament. And on the radio, one of the radio hosts was like, Colin, we're going to feature this year. You know, you're a senior, a captain. Like, we're going to do a commercial about you. And he put this script in front of me. And I read, like, 2 words. And I had this panic. I couldn't even read, like, a paragraph. And I'm like a A and B student. Like the moment I just sabotaged myself with my thoughts. I didn't work through it. So I will say this, listen to anybody right now. No one is immune to doubt, worry, and fear. No one is. I don't care if you are a CEO, if you're 17, 15, if you're in business or an athlete, like no one is immune to it. But the longer you wait, you add weight. The longer you put it off and address it, it's going to get worse. There's just no way around it. So I like to say victory goes to the vulnerable. My life didn't change until I was about 27 years old. I went to therapy, then I went to speech therapy. And then I did Toastmasters for 3 years, where I would volunteer and give speeches every single week. So I know this to be true, Eric. If you do what you fear the most, there's nothing you cannot do. So once I worked through that, I changed companies. And I love this phrase, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Right.
When I changed companies, the company I was working at is called Bard Medical. I'm a person of faith. God never says, oops, my bad. God has a plan for this. So that struggle gave me empathy and curiosity. If I can rewire my brain and my skills through hard work, what could happen if I choose anything I want to do? So I got to this new company, and God gave me this amazing sales coach named Frankie Pretzel. And what he taught me is this: sales psychology beats sales strategy. Mm. I said, Frankie, say that again. What are you talking about? Yeah, he says, Colin, sales psychology beats sales strategy. Whatever the brain can't conceive and believe it can achieve success in life and business is a mental game. Here's 30 books on the power of the mind. I'm like, wow. Okay, so he's talking things like thoughts become things, like attracts like, energy flows where focus goes. I'm like, what is this language? Give me more of it. So I started just attacking like you did, like podcasts at the gym. I manage 5 states, so I drive around the Northwest and just get after audiobooks, reading books, going on YouTube, just relentless, just attacking this knowledge. Dude, I saw my life transform. Like I literally saw my confidence, focus, execution. I was setting sales records. And then I was like, dude, I need to share the stuff I'm learning. I started blogging. I started this blog called Project Rise on Google Blogspot, old school. So I just started like giving away the stuff I was learning and just practicing being vulnerable and practice telling stories, practicing condensing complex ideas into like a short blog post. And I started making short videos. And then I got asked to speak at a school. And when I was done speaking at the school, the basketball coach says, Colin, that was awesome. Your topic was the power of thought. That was really powerful. Well, this fall, we had this other speaker named Trevor Moad. He's a mental conditioning coach with Russell Wilson, Alabama, Florida State. Like, you can do that. I was like, what is mental conditioning? For all I knew about, you know, coaches working with athletes or people, it's like therapy or counseling or there's something wrong with you. Where Trevor is, he was proactively training Russell. He was proactively working on things like the power of language, the power of habits, this phrasing, success leaves clues, do simple, better. So I saw a model I'd never seen before. I got inspired. I was like, dang, I can do this. So I started writing books and I got promoted to a national sales trainer and I was coaching 90% of the mental game. I mean, most people know their product. They know the industry. Like I was talking about confidence, resilience, how to craft a great message that creates emotion, gratitude, how to visualize, have this like process of outcome, worth not tied to outcome. And I just started writing books and lo and behold, man, I started doing it full time. So it's been a long journey, but it's been awesome.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And when you're talking about one to share it, that's kind of my journey I'm on right now. It's in kind of the same way, like through broadcasting these last couple of years, I'm always on planes. I'm, you know, getting these workouts in, I'm trying to lose weight. I'm always kind of pouring into myself. And then I get connected with these guys. Your Trevor Moad's kind of been my Ben Newman, my James McParland, who I've worked with. And I'm like, man, I want to share these principles with other people. That's why I love getting people like yourself on the podcast. So I can introduce you to maybe a sports fan who is just tuning in because they were a fan of the Buffalo Bills. So they tune in for this. Mm-hmm. Well, now they get introduced to this rock star, Colin Henderson, and who's going to teach them to be able to transform their mind. So I know we're going to give them some practical steps too. So let's just start from the beginning. Like, how would you define mindset?
I love that question. I usually open up workshops. I ask the listeners, the audience, how would you define mindset? People start saying stuff. And I said, well, really mindset is this Venn diagram. It's like two dials. Mindset, by definition, is my definition, is a conditioned set of beliefs that drive behaviors. And that conditioned set of beliefs, oftentimes is not true. It's these false stories. And because the brain is like Velcro to negativity, this mental conditioning is shaped by what we see here and experience, and less of positivity, which is like Teflon, bounces off. You don't even notice those things. The brain keeps a scoreboard of your failures and your mistakes. So this conditioning is shaped by what I call trauma, drama, daddy, and mama.
I love that.
And Eric, pop quiz, I love asking this question. What percent of human thoughts are negative?
80%.
80%. Dang, you got it. And
I've heard you say that before.
And 95% of human thoughts are reoccurring. So just by telling performers that I train, your brain is sabotaging. Like, it's built to hold you back. Like, you've been stopping yourself probably more than anything else. Like, that defender's not stopping you. You're stopping yourself because of negative self-talk, this negative conditioning on your self-image, or what some hater said about you, or that past mistake that you keep replaying. And if really thoughts become things, your thoughts, beliefs, and values, and your self-image flows into your actions.
So if you're on this cycle, how do you change those thoughts then?
Yeah, well, one of the first things I tell people is, man, you got to recognize common negative thoughts. These, like, what are some common phrases or mistakes that you keep reliving, that you keep pre-living, and these, like, labels on yourself? So one of the biggest tools I can train anybody is the power of self-talk. Mm. There's research from the BBC lab in the UK, 44,000 patients. Self-talk is the number one source of confidence. Because I'm guessing, Eric, you probably, some games you practice hard, you train hard, you prepared, but whether it was you were anxious or negative self-talk, or weren't focused, wasn't present in the moment, didn't have a clear plan, and you didn't do well. So as much as we got to train physically and look at past success, the step before that is your language. What you say to yourself has 10 times the power versus what other people say to you. So just like this, if you were playing, you like golf, right?
Yep.
So if you had a caddy that you hired to follow you around for 18 holes, and that caddy is like, yo, Ewood, dude, you're not good. Like, your drive is horrible. You shank your irons. You can't chip or putt. Like, you don't belong right here. You're going to probably owe everybody money because you're going to lose every single hole. You should probably give up and quit. You would fire that caddy in 1 second.
Right.
Yet most people's self-talk sounds just like that.
Mm.
So fire that inner negative caddy, fire that inner critic, and what I call pre-plan your thought life, pre-plan your thoughtmosphere, write down some go-to statements or affirmations, or something you're going to really, I call them anchor statements, to anchor your performance in truth and language, to really shape how you see yourself.
Man, that's excellent. That is excellent. How do you practically shape that yourself?
That's great. So it's all down to systems. I'd love to quote James Clear, we don't rise to our goals, we fall to our systems. So the system I teach, and there's a few of them, the one I love to teach is called the HA method. So just like, you know, if you're training your glutes or your hamstrings, your quads, your legs, you're doing cleans, you're doing squats, you're doing deadlifts. Well, to train confidence, there's different mental emotional lifts you can do to train inner belief, all backed by science. The H I have is grounded in gratitude. To focus on what you have, to focus on abundance. Or I have, write down a few examples of when you had success before and the work that you put in to be credible. So I have is, I have abundance. I have, you know, I'm married to Leslie. We got Garrett and Grace, our healthy kids. Like, I have great family and friends. I have my faith in Jesus. I actually balled out. I'm from Cincy, went to Louisville, killed it. I went to the Pro Bowl. Like, I belong on this stage. Let's go. And then the I am is just affirmations. So it's just like pinpointing, like, the best version of you, like pinpointing values. My affirmations, I say, I'm authentic, I'm present, I'm courageous. We become what we think about most of the time. Thoughts become things. And then the I will is set one clear intention. What's crazy about the football is the average play is around 5 to 6 seconds. Average time in between each play, depending upon if it's no huddle or huddle, it's like 20 to 25 seconds. So in a 3-hour game, Eric, we're only competing for 11 minutes.
Right.
That's 2 hours and 49 minutes we can think ourselves into failure. And all of our training is for that 6 seconds. No one trains us on how to win that 20 seconds in between each play. And that is going to depend upon your focus, your execution, what you're saying to yourself, what you see. So if you can change, like, I have, I am, I will, visualize what you want, not what you don't want. The old me, I would visualize not dropping a punt, not missing a tackle, not striking out. So I teach people this truth is that everything happens twice, first in our mind, then in real life. So your brain's a magnet. So when you say things like can't and don't and don't screw up, you're creating this neural pathway that your subconscious stores just like a memory, and you attract and you usually manifest those things that you don't want. Fear and faith have a lot in common. Which one do you train?
Are you asking me that?
I don't know. I'm just saying, man. So it's like, listeners, like when you're about to do your presentation, your speech, your sales call, your game, your sport athletes out there, are you focusing all your energy on what you don't want? You're actually getting a negative rep. So if we can ground our brain, our cells, the body produces 5 million cells per day. Your cells are eavesdropping on your thoughts.
Mm.
And gratitude has been proven to lower cortisol, to boost your immune system, to lower blood pressure. Research out of Penn shows that gratitude lowers scores of anxiety and people who are, you know, anxious all the time. And also Duke did some research that people who are optimistic with the gratitude and optimism, they were more successful, made more money, and won more in business and in sports. And I just told you, you know, the powerful, most powerful thing for confidence is self-talk. And then when you're visualizing, like you experience, like later in your career, your subconscious is storing these memories, these thoughts. And when you take the ball out, you're getting a perfect rep.
Right.
So just like LeBron James, like there's videos of him on the block working on his post moves without a ball. He's getting perfect reps because he's taking the ball out. If you're a pitcher, this is called shadow bullpens. You take the ball out, you're getting a perfect rep. Drew Brees every Saturday night would do his walkthrough in his mind. He'd look at, you know, there's the mic and, you know, here's the safety, and he would get perfect reps in his mind.
I would often do that in the hotel room the night before games. I'm not even going to lie, because we would get an opening script for games and it would either be like 8 or 12 plays. And so I would line up over the ball. I'd make my call. I'd, you know, kind of picture what defense it would be. Maybe I'd switch the defense so I could see it again. And then I would literally take a pass rep set or kind of come off the ball. And I actually started doing it early in my career. I broke my leg in half my rookie year. So my second year I was coming back, I was always kind of like the night before the game, like, you know, I barely practiced that week. I'm like, all right, how's this leg going to feel tomorrow? So the night before the game, I'd kind of be doing some stuff in my hotel room. And then I was like, actually, I kind of like that. So I would do that the night before the games as well. It's funny. It's like, it's kind of goofy. People would probably poke fun of you if they know you did it, but it's like, you have to be obsessed.
Yeah. But like you get your rep, like you lift weights.
Right.
You do cardio, you stretch, you go in the cold tub. How's this any different?
Right.
This is building mental strength, but it takes discipline. Just like you would, you know, sit down and do yoga for 45 minutes. Take 10 minutes and get some reps in mentally. Like, yes. It's no different. You can condition your body. You also can't do the same with your mind. I'll tell a quick story about the first time I saw this really happen, how powerful it is when you visualize. I was in my last year playing for the Cougs. We're about to play the Huskies in the Apple Cup. And a few months before that week, we had this what's called SAC. It's like all these reps from the different sports teams come together. And we let's do this talent show. So I got roped into this talent show because I like dancing. So someone signed me up. And so I had 2 months to prepare. I did nothing because I was playing football for the Cougs. I was a senior. And I had like 2 weeks to go until that the talent show. I was like, I got to do something. I can't be punked up there.
Right.
I physically was like, this is my senior year. I'm playing. I'm sore and I don't have time to like choreograph and physically like go to a studio and like dance. So this is what I did, Eric. This is old school. I had a boombox. I put a burnt CD of Justin Timberlake and I listened to his first track, his first album, like in my bed at night before going to bed for like 10 minutes or so. Like I listened to it like 3 times and I choreographed a whole routine in my mind. So I would listen to the opening, the chorus, you know, verse 2 of chorus, the bridge, the breakdown. But I would choreograph like all my movements. And I'd pick my outfit out and I saw what the judges were going to be and the stage and the audience. Like I mentally rehearsed using all my senses. This is called imagery. So I physically was getting reps in my mind. And when it came time to perform, do you want a little sample?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you want a little, no, I'm just kidding. So they call me Hand. They call me Hand. Sticky, sticky, see Hand. Mm-hmm. I won the talent show because I saw it in my mind hundreds of times. And when I was on stage, like, my body's like, oh, I've done this before. I know what to do. But I didn't move my body physically once.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. That is extremely powerful. That's an incredible story too. I hope you share that with a lot of your speaking engagements, because that's powerful. And it shows the power of it. There's so many studies out there. I mean, one of my favorite ones ever is an inmate that went into prison, and he loved golf, but he wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And he could obviously never practice golf in a prison cell. He did mental imagery, read books on golf, was obsessed with it in his mind, and he came out a scratch golfer, like a pure scratch golfer. I believe he was a plus handicap golfer, so shooting below par on average.
Or here's one. There is research on, like, strength. They had a group who would lift weights, you know, for a half hour every day for a month, and group two would just visualize pushing the weight. Group one that lift weights increased their strength by 30%. Group two, no lifting, but they just visualized using imagery, all their senses, but in their mind, they increased their strength by almost half, 13.5%. Without touching a weight.
It's wild. One that blows my mind is people that are eating foods that aren't even that healthy, but they believe they're really healthy. They'll feel the health benefits of it because their mind is telling their cells, you know, that we are getting healthier, and they will get healthier, even though they might be eating something or drinking something that is really crap, but they believe it's healthy. And so they're going.
Or you take a sugar pill,
right?
Which is not even a real pill, and you think you're going to lose weight, or you think it's going to help cure diabetes or whatever. I don't name a disease. And usually those numbers usually go up. They improve because you think you're getting healthier.
The mind is powerful.
Yeah.
The mind is limitless.
Of course, it's limitless.
Hey, we're ending it like you all do.
You've been listening to the Masterminds of Podcast, right? Thank you for that.
Come on, brother. All right, one more. I want to get into one more of your deals that I've heard you talk about a couple times before, and then I got a couple more things for you. But explain MVPs to the listeners.
Well, there's a few ways I can teach your MVPs. So if we're talking about culture, I have leaders or performers break down their mission, values, purpose, slogan.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, the other one, if we're working on the mental game, I say MVPs do mindfulness, visualize, and then have powerful self-talk. But let's talk about culture. So I really believe that culture is established top-down, but it's lived bottom-up. Culture is the X factor. I say the number's 4-1. 4 is to 1 as the mind to the body. 4 is to 1 as culture is the talent. 4 is to 1 as the person is to the performer. So if you're not working on culture as a leader in your business, with your marriage, at your church, with your family, like, you're missing the boat, because culture is everything. Relationships win championships. But MVPs just gives you a roadmap on how to simplify and clarify what you're doing and what you're about. So the M is mission. Are you mission driven? When you wake up, do you avoid stuff and delay it, or are you attacking something? You have intent with what you're doing. So just wake up and have a mission. I think it was a Dr. John Rady out of Harvard, he says, there's one thing I can teach based on my research on the power of the mind, is everyone needs to have a mission. Everyone needs to wake up with a vision that I'm going after something. Are you a gazelle or a lion? Because if you're a gazelle, you're running away. Lions are running towards something. So wake up with a mission. It doesn't have to be your mission. It could be somebody else's. It could be something like an organization. Now V's is having values. These is having values. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. And your values are, you know, your core beliefs, these guiding, you know, pillars in action. Because Enron had the word integrity as a value.
Wow.
So I like to kind of say, man, look at the traits. What's the best version of you? Look at mentors, your heroes. What traits did they have? And pinpoint and backward design. Design beats willpower. So my core values are talking about being a G. Every day I'm being a G, which is putting God first. And then gratitude, giving, growing every day. Like, I value gratitude. It's a daily practice. I value giving, loving, serving. I value having a growth mindset, learning from failure, learning from podcasts, learning from mentors like you and new good friends. You know? So it's not just words on a wall. It's action. Values are your actions, but you identify. When you were growing up, man, did you have a magazine called East Bay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, how far were you when you get that magazine East Bay every month?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, you're getting like cleats and gloves and pads and Under Armour's and Nike dry fit. Like you just, because this was pre-Dicks. This was like, it's kind of pre-Amazon a little bit, you know, where right. Everybody's ordering Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, like my Christmas list would be an East Bay catalog, like for probably three or four years.
Yeah. So just like you would order gear out of East Bay, man, pinpoint traits, pinpoint behaviors, and then start acting like it. Now, the P is having a purpose. So I say the mission is the pull, but the purpose is the push. So the mission is going to pull you, but the purpose is going to push you, because I usually say with your purpose statement, it should be from a place of like pain, a place of like empathy. Nature has blessed us with two drivers, pleasure and pain. Most of us only use one of those. So my purpose is, man, through my struggles, through my anxieties, through my self-worth tied to outcome, which was super exhausting, man, my purpose is to transfer my pain into your power by giving you tools. Mm. And then the S is having a slogan, man. Like if you had a mantra or a catchphrase or on your gravestone or on your Instagram, on your email signature, man, how can we summarize your mission by purpose into like a 3 to 5 word, like just go-to phrasing that can summarize what you're about in a punchy, catchy, and then go for it. So I'll work through my MVP. So my mission is to transform lives and normalize mindset training. And my values being a G, God first, gratitude, giving, growing. My purpose is to transfer my pain into your power by giving you tools to be your best. And my slogan is, the body has limits, but the mind is limitless.
Yep.
So it takes some work. So I just say, man, the best focus on less, not more, flat out. The best focus on less. And right. I remember, you know, in eighth grade, the first time I let peer pressure knock me off was, I was at this basketball game and I was with some older kids who had their license. Like, man, we should go bash mailboxes. I'm like, what? Yeah, man, have you seen the show? Some of these movies, like they get in the car and bash mailboxes and it's fun. And I'm like, dude, that's like vandalizing. But I didn't have the core value to stand up for what I believe. I didn't do the work. So I let peer pressure. I jumped in that car and I was a baseball player. I was the best at it. That's even the thing. So we were hitting mailboxes, Eric, and we were so dumb. We went to this like cul-de-sac. We had to turn around. People, you know, heard the box getting smashed. They called the police. There was a cop car 2 blocks down, pulled us over. When I was 15 years old, thumbprint, mugshot, was in jail for like 3 hours.
Wow.
I didn't have core values, man.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't have those guardrails on your life, then you can veer off the road. If you got those guardrails, even if you veer a little bit, it's going to keep you on track and you're going to stay up.
Well, also, man, just think back to when you play, like as a center, you can't control outcomes. You can't control the blitz. You can't control the loops or the matchups or the A gap, whatever you want to call it. You can't control what the opponent does or what the plays are called. You can't control how you evaluate your values.
Mm-hmm.
Stop evaluating outcomes. Evaluate your values. Did I show up authentic? Was I present? Was I courageous? Those are my I am statements. And then am I measuring, you know, was I grateful today? Was I giving, serving? Was I growing from that mistake or from that like podcast learning or book or whatever?
That's incredible stuff. I love that. And I've heard you talk through that before and I knew it'd be powerful for the listeners to hear that. So I appreciate you running through that. It was actually convicting for me. You know, I've done a lot of intentional self-work over the last few years since transitioning out of ball. And even hearing yours, it's like, okay, I need a better slogan. You know, I need something I can come back to. And I've been really intentional about listing values, my mission. And it's kind of ever changing. So don't be hypercritical if you're sitting there listening and you don't necessarily have yours down pat. Get something and then pivot from it if you need a little bit. To quote David Nurse, pivot and go at some
point. Pivot and go.
Yeah. But, okay, so Colin has 5 kids. And I know that you're pouring into them on a day-to-day basis. How do you use self-talk with your children?
Well, the first thing we do is most mornings we play what is called happy breakfast, where every kid from, you know, Memphis, who's 2, to Baylor, who's 9, is they all say one thing that makes them happy. And then we count to 3, 1, 2, 3, but then we pound the table, happy. So we're like really training, focusing on gratitude and what we have. The other game we play during New Year's dinner is we'll go around the table and every kid will give another kid a compliment. And then they have to give themselves a compliment too, to practice self-love and self-empathy, but also giving kindness to other people. And one of our other favorite drills I do is I brainwash our kids. We have a family slogan. Eric, do you guys have like a slogan for your family?
We do.
What is it?
So our main one is we all we got, we all we need. We are professional joy spreaders. So
that's great.
And who's got it better than us? Nobody.
Nobody.
That's nobody. Great. John Harbaugh. That's so good. Jim Harbaugh got that from him.
That's good.
And then every morning before the kids are going to school, because it hit me when my daughter was like three. She came home from a little preschool and was like, I didn't have a good day today. I said, why? And she's, you know, was kind of saying, well, someone wasn't nice to me. And I said, Grace, you can make every day the best day. You know, you have the power to do that. So before she, you know, if I'm taking her or if my wife's taking her, at some point we'll say, Grace, what are you going to make today? And she'll say, the best day ever. And I said, well, what do you do? She said, I spread joy. And I'm like,
that's great.
I just want her to be focused on less. She doesn't have to worry about pleasing everybody. She doesn't have to worry about her grades. I mean, obviously I want her to try hard in school, but she's in kindergarten. Like, I want you to spread joy. Like, that's what Woods do. We spread joy. And our family kind of mission statement is based on Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will be refreshed, and a generous person will prosper. We want to be known as a family that spreads joy to others and that's generous to a fault.
That's great. So that's beautiful, by the way, dude. That's you have like four and you're just brainwashing them on the good stuff. That's awesome. So
I used to call it brainwashing too, and then now I call it brain programming.
You are mental conditioning them.
Exactly.
So if you have parents who listen to this podcast or parents who have kids, how you speak to your children becomes their self-talk, facts. And champions are born and then unmade because we evaluate the wrong stuff. We only praise result and outcome, which we can't control outcome, but how is their process? How is their effort? So our family slogan is Henderson's help. I ask, hey kids, tell me what Henderson's do. Help. Let's go. That's it. And then I ask them one question at the end of the day, end of school, like, who'd you help? You know? So the other drill I do is, especially our son, Ben, who's doing baseball now, is, dude, I'm teaching him how to freaking visualize when he was eight years old. So the first 2 weeks of the season of baseball this spring, like we were in Palm Springs, so we missed the first two games. And so he missed the first two, he was kind of behind. So I was like, hey, you can catch up. Let's get some reps in mentally. Just close your eyes. And I use the word just imagine, because he's eight at the time. Hey, man, just imagine the bat in your hand and imagine the ball coming at you and see the feel of the pitcher and just feel that ball hitting that bat and having so much fun. And the ball is big and it's just, you know, it's easy to hit and you're just hitting lasers. So our first game, after the kids warmed up and the coach is like dragging the field, my son is bat leadoff, put his helmet on, he's eight, by the way, put his gloves on. He goes to the batter's box and starts doing some, like, close his eyes, starts doing some, like, dry swing, like, close his eyes, like, visualizing the ball coming. His first pitch that year, he got a base hit up in the middle. And then later that year, I was doing coach pitch with the team, and one of his teammates wasn't hitting the ball. He was, like, 0-for-3 with, like, three strikeouts. And Bear was like, Dad, you should show him the thing. And he closed his eyes. You should show him how to imagine.
I love
it. We taught George how to imagine, you know, the same drill. Close your eyes, visualize, see your pitch, feel it, feel the ball hitting the bat. I kid you not, the next pitch you got to hit the base up the middle.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So just given these tools, I mean, you're never too young for this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And you're normalizing it because your kids are now teaching others about it and they're showing the fruit from it. One more, and then we're going to get to the recurring questions. What's your – I mean, every time I've heard you speak, when I see you on social media, you have a energy about you, you have a joy about you. I'm assuming that comes from a strong morning routine. And I know with five kids and busy work schedule, that's not always the same. But what's your ideal morning routine look like?
So before I get into the routine, let's talk about why I have energy, because I'm doing what I love. Man, does this work for me? No, man, this is the joy. Like, this is my passion. I'm speaking about what I'm curious about, what I'm obsessed with. So I get energy because it took me 36 years to find my calling, to find what God made me to do. So I think that's step one, is really do what you're designed to do. Do what you're curious about. Do what you research and think about, talk about. Do more of that, and you'll have more energy. So my morning routine is really three steps. I call this MITs, most important tasks. You maximize your MITs. If you had nothing else but those three, you'd win the day. The first MIT is to get up by 5:30. if I don't get up at 5:30, I'm chasing the day and my kids are up and I'm making breakfast and I'm checking emails and all this stuff. So if I get up at 5:30, then it's this phrasing, Eric, sweat before screen, get that workout in early. The same thing, like if I don't get in early, like I got meetings and I'm running around, I got a podcast, get in the car, I'm doing a Zoom training, or I have a phone call, I'm doing a coaching call. Like if I don't get in early, I don't get it done. And really my third thing, which I've been really adopting more, is just setting that clear intention, really how to serve my wife better.
I love it. Yeah, I'm with you. If I don't get up early enough, and there's times where I'll intentionally say, man, sleep is more important than training tomorrow morning. And that's, you know, me kind of tapping back into some of my athlete training. But
no, you got to get sleep. Sleep is a secret sauce. But if I'm on that consistent routine, I do travel sometimes, but maybe because you're doing stuff with the bills, like your travel schedule weekend is probably crazy.
Yeah.
But I just know if I don't get it done early, I won't do it.
Right. I'm with you. Because it just, and then at some point it becomes too selfish of a decision, especially if you have five kids like yourself, it becomes too selfish of a decision to say, okay, daddy's going to go get a workout in and I'm not going to spend time with you guys. So,
but even if that workout is like 15 minutes, just get it in, like get the heart rate. The research shows you if your heart rate is above 120, it's like taking Prozac. Mm. So getting the heart rate up and you using some weight to resist, like it's so good for your muscles, but it's so good for your brain too.
Right. All right. Some recurring questions. This will be tough. I know you're extremely well read. So if you don't have one specific one, I'll ask, I usually ask what's your favorite book. What's one of your favorite books?
And I usually answer, what was my favorite book of the year? Because I read a lot of books. And my favorite book from 2020, because this year's not done yet, was Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights.
Yeah, I've heard, I haven't read it, but I've heard him talk about
it. It's good. Okay, get the audiobook, Eric. His ability to deliver, he tells amazing stories that are just insane. He's got insane wisdom, and he summarizes each chapter with these like nuggets that are just pure.
I guarantee having him read it too. He's got that iconic voice. I bet it's incredible. I'll do that for sure. I know you're a man of faith, but what role does your faith play in your life?
You've got to put God first. And I sometimes forget that. And when I'm super stressed and anxious and going through a trial, like I can remember, man, when you feel fear, pray, trust, have hope. And I just hold on to my favorite verse, don't be transformed by the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans 12:2. And just like God has our back, man. Just have that faith. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Like being seduced by the prize, the outcome, the flesh. Like be transformed by faith, by self-compassion, gratitude, service.
I love it. What was your first car?
My first car was a 1984 white Volvo GL.
Nice.
That would not go above 50 miles per hour.
So you were a hazard going too slow on the highway.
Yeah, I didn't really go. The Volvo didn't go on the highway very often.
Right. What's your favorite restaurant?
Holy moly. My favorite restaurant is in Bellevue, Washington, called Lot 3. It has the most amazing salad. It's this like pea, corn, chicken, celery, all this good stuff.
Nice. What's your favorite spot in Nashville?
My favorite spot in Nashville, that's going to be a tough one. I'm going to give a shout out to Hattie B's for that hot chicken sandwich.
Nice. All right. Last one for me. What's next for Colin Henderson?
What's next is just to dream big and then serve bigger. So when I say dream big, it's like I get to. Just scale more, like to impact more people, get more people like you to help share the message, get more people around me to get this, to normalize mindset training, but serve bigger, more impact, like give more stuff away.
Where can the listeners find out more about you?
That's it. Probably on Instagram. You can follow me at Colin Henderson on the IG, Colin 2 Wells, or you can check out my website at thecolinhenderson.com. Or on Amazon, I have 7 books. I have 2 journals.
Give your new book, Quiet Mind, The Quiet Mind, a plug real quick. And that's a book that I'm excited to put in my queue.
Yeah, it's really good. The book was designed to help quiet the noise. I like to say, you know, in this digital era of data and noise and numbers and scrolling and emails. Being able to quiet your mind is a new currency of success. So like I said before, the best performers, they really focus on less. And so if we have some daily drills and some skills on how to just think about a laptop and these tabs, just delete, 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 and just focus on the main stuff. And I give you 8 plays that you're going to master.
I can't wait, man. And that's something
actually 10 plays. I said 10 plays to master.
I thought I read it was 10 plays when I read the
10, description. 10, 10.
But yeah, I need that because at this stage of my life, you know, I'm still narrowing my focus. It was for so long, it was be the best center in the NFL. And it was, you know, it was faith, then family, then football. But career-wise, it was, man, I want to be the best center in the NFL. And then you transition out and there's lots of shiny objects and it's golf trips. It's these career opportunities. It's this investment opportunity. And man, I'm really focusing in on right now, like trying to get crystal clear about where I want to make an impact.
And I would say, when I say dream big, serve bigger, I really got to hone in at home too.
Yep.
So it's kind of this concept of breadth versus depth.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many people in our space, I want to be seen. I want to be on TV. I want to be on podcasts. I want to be on Oprah, whatever. Oprah's the super soul, whatever. Or, you know, speaking. But they're not getting that depth with their spouse, with their kids, with their close friends, with their church, with their friends.
Right.
So I really want to just remind myself, man, to be at home with be present with your family. Like that's where the magic happens.
Yep. I mean, my mission statement, my personal mission statement in the morning, what I'm reciting to myself when I brush my teeth is use the platform and the gifts God has given me to positively impact others, starting first with Leslie, Grace, and Garrett. Like, if it doesn't matter
so
where I'm making an impact, if I'm not making an impact on them first. And then it's like, okay, God, you gave me these gifts. You gave me this platform. Like, you just show me the opportunities. I'm not going to press it. Like you said, it's like, okay, not every day is going to be an Ed Mylett show appearance, but that's okay. Make an impact wherever you're at.
Which you kill, by the way. And I just tell myself, because I've failed at this, bro. I'm being transparent and vulnerable. I failed at this actually the last few months, man. I've been like traveling and Zoom calls, coaching calls, and like I have nothing left. Like I'm recommitting to being all in once I turn this thing down.
Awesome. Well, you have an awesome weekend with the family. I can't thank you enough for your time. It was super generous of you to give me and the listeners all this knowledge. Follow along with Colin. Check out his podcast. Read his books. He is a genuine dude out there trying to make a difference, and I love what he's bringing to the world of mental conditioning. The body has limits, but the mind is limitless.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right, everybody. Thanks.
This episode is also brought to you by Punched Energy Chews, and these have become a favorite product of mine for energy and fitness. They use a patented formula with tons of scientific studies, and they start with pure green Arabica coffee bean caffeine. It improves your physical and mental performance, increases your metabolism, helps burn calories and body fat, and they also help boost your immunity, which is very important at this time because they're a great source of vitamin C. They're also ultra low glycemic, no spikes, no bounces, and no crashes. What you're going to do is go to punchedenergy.com, use code ERICWOOD20 for 20% off. Give them a try. Link in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend or with your followers on social media. Also, shoot us a rating and support the sponsors whose information is in the show notes. Until next time, as I tell my daughter before she leaves for school every day, spread some joy and make it the best day ever.